All right, well, we're there in Matthew, chapter number 19. And tonight, once again, we're going to take a break from our Bible study in the book of 1 Kings. And I'm going to deal with a different subject tonight, and a specific subject. And tonight, I'm preaching a sermon entitled, My Position on Divorce and Separation. My position on divorce and separation. To be honest with you, I struggled even with the title of the sermon because I really didn't really know what to call the sermon. But I chose to call it My Position because right now I'm being attacked on my position on divorce and separation. And I believe that my position is a biblical position. And I'm going to show you from the Bible why I believe that. But I want to call it my position to begin with. And when it's all said and done, then I think that you'll see that it's from the Word of God. And I hope that's clear tonight. But I've chosen to address this because the attacks are false. They're not real. But instead of letting others define what I believe, I thought I'd take the time, and I want to do it tonight, to explain clearly for myself from the Bible, straight from the Bible, what the Bible teaches on this subject, what I believe about this, and what we practice here at Verity Baptist Church. Now, I'd like to give you three thoughts tonight, and if you're taking notes, then maybe you can jot these things down. The first thing I'd like you to notice is that the Bible is against divorce and separation. The Bible is against divorce and separation. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 3, I'd like you to notice what the Bible says here, Matthew 19 and verse 3, and this is just where we're going to begin tonight. We're going to go to lots of different places. The Bible says, the Pharisees also came unto him, of course that's Jesus, tempting him. So they're testing him, and saying unto him, is it lawful? And when they say lawful here, they mean they're referring to the laws of God, to the laws of Moses. They're saying, is it lawful? Is it wrong? Is it a sin? And they said, for a man to put away. Now, I want you to notice that that phrase, put away, these words put away, in our King James Bible means divorce. The word that you and I would use today would be divorce, but the way the Bible puts it here is put away. And you can look that up and study that out on your own, and you'll see that that's true. And they ask this question, is it lawful for a man to put away his cause for every cause? So they're saying, is it fine? Is it okay for a man to get divorced for any reason? For every cause is the question. Verse 4, the Bible says, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read? And that's usually the problem. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now I want you to notice that what Jesus does is that he goes back to the book of Genesis and he begins with Adam and Eve and where God created there a man and a woman, and of course he instituted marriage. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verse 5, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And of course he's quoting the book of Genesis when God established marriage. And he said, this is what marriage is, that a man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, the word twain means two, shall be one. They twain shall be one flesh. That's quoted from Genesis 2:24. And then in verse 6, he says, wherefore, they are no more twain. He says, when two individuals get married, they're not two people anymore as far as God is concerned. They are no more twain, but one flesh. And then he said this, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And that phrase there, to put asunder, means to separate. It means to divide. It means to tear apart. And here we see that the Bible clearly teaches, and Jesus clearly taught, that we should not divide what God has united. I've heard it said this way, that we should not make two out of what God has made one. In marriage, God took two and made one. We should not take that one and then divide it into two. The Bible clearly teaches that we should not divide what God has united. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. This is clearly taught in Scripture. The Bible is against divorce. It's against separation. Let me give you just some other references to look at. Go to Malachi chapter number 2, if you don't mind. You're there in Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament. So if you flip backwards to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, look at Malachi chapter number 2. The Bible clearly states that we should not divide what God has united. Amen. That God hath made twain one flesh, and what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that God himself hates divorce. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Yet ye say, wherefore?" I want you to notice the words here. He says, "Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." And here the Bible is referring to the fact that when two individuals come together, they walk down an aisle and they stand before, often we emphasize the fact that they stand before their friends and family and they make vows to each other. You know, really the most important witness of that vow is God himself. The Bible says that the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy youth. Notice verse 15. He reiterates what Jesus said in Matthew, what we find in Genesis chapter 2. He says, "And did not he make one?" Again, referring to marriage. Again, referring to the fact that twain become one flesh. He said, "Did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." He says, don't let anybody deal treacherously. The word treacherously means unfaithful, to be unfaithful, to be a traitor, to be treacherous. He says, against the wife of his youth, verse 16, "For the Lord, the God of Israel," notice the words here, the Bible says, "The Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." Remember, the words "put away" and "putting away" are referring to divorce. And the Bible says that God hates divorce. God is the one that instituted marriage. God said that he has made twain one flesh. The Bible says what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. God himself. Consider the fact that when you got married, God was there himself witnessing the vows that you made, that were made between a husband and a wife. And because of that, when those vows are broken, God hates it. The Bible says here in Malachi 2:16, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." God hates divorce. And one of the reasons I think that God hates divorce is because of what Jesus taught, is because he has made two one. And to divide that, you are dividing what God has made one, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Also, God hates it because, I mean, there's lots of reasons why God hates divorce, and I'm not going to go into every reason why God hates divorce, but one that's highlighted here is because you're breaking a vow, not just to your spouse, but to God. Because the vow is made in the presence of your friends and family. It's made in the presence of our Heavenly Father. But the vow is not only made to your spouse, it's made to God as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read these verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." So the Bible's clear that the Bible is against divorce and separation. We should not divide what God has joined together. God hates divorce because it is a breaking of the vows. Not only that, but go to Romans chapter 7, if you wouldn't mind. Romans chapter 7, if you're there in Malachi or Matthew, you've got Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then, of course, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. Why is the Bible against divorce? Well, one is because divorce is dividing what God had joined together. Why is the Bible against divorce? Well, the Bible tells us that God hates divorce because you are breaking a vow, not only to your spouse, but to God. But another reason that the Bible is against divorce is because the Bible teaches that marriage is till death do us part. One of the vows that people make, in fact, when they get married is till death do us part. And that's a biblical thing because that's what the Bible teaches about marriage. Are you there in Romans chapter 7? Look down at verse number 1. Romans chapter number 7 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband," notice what the Bible says here, "so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So here again, clearly we see that the Bible teaches that marriage is a bond that will last till death do us part. The Bible teaches that the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Now, once he's dead, she's loose from that law, and she's free to marry another man. But if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, the Bible says she shall be called an adulteress. The Bible is clear about the fact that marriage is till death do us part. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. You're there in Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians 7 if you don't mind. Just one book over, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me just stop and say this. If you're here tonight and you've been divorced or something that you had in your past, the purpose of the sermon is not to beat up on you. And of course, anytime that we preach on the subject of divorce, we're not trying to beat up on you. You know, the Bible says when it comes to the sins of the past, forgetting those things which are behind. And there's no point in just feeling bad about sins from the past. Look, obviously, we're not going to mince words. Obviously, we're not going to change scripture. Obviously, God is against divorce. God doesn't want people to be divorced. The Bible says that we should not separate what God has united. We should not divide what God has united. We should not put asunder what God has made one. God hates divorce. The Bible's clear about that. Marriage is till death to us part. So obviously, we need to preach against it, and this is a sin that needs to be preached against. But with that said, if you have divorce in your past, I'm not beating up on you. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. But the truth of the matter is that there are lots of marriages that need to hear this, and there are young people that need to hear this. And here's what I know about you, even if I don't know anything about you. And it is this, that oftentimes when people are surveyed and they are asked, people who have been divorced in the past or have experienced divorce in the past, when people are surveyed about the most traumatic things they've gone through in life, people who have experienced divorce will often cite the time that they got divorced or going through a divorce or whatever as one of the most difficult, traumatic, hardest things in their lives. And so divorced people will acknowledge that all day long. You ask a divorced person, well, how was that? Was that like a picnic? Was that just a great time in your life? And it's like, no, it was horrible. So if you've been divorced and you can connect with that, then you ought to be glad that there's a pastor in a church that preaches against divorce. Because we're trying to keep people from going through that heartache. We're trying to keep people from going through that difficulty. And look, the Bible's clear about the fact that the Bible is against divorce and separation. Are there in 1 Corinthians 7? Look down at verse number 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. The Bible says the wife is bound. Notice this is mirroring what we saw in Romans chapter 7. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. The Bible is clear about this. God is against it. God does not want it. He's against divorce. He's against separation. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse number 10. You just saw verse 39. Just go up to verse number 10. The Bible says, here Paul says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. That's a clear command in Scripture. The Lord is commanding, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. We'll come back to that in a minute. Notice the last part of verse 11. And let not the husband put away his wife. So this is clearly taught in Scripture. Verse 10, unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Last part of verse 11, and let not the husband put away his wife. So people ask, you know, right now I'm getting attacked about this, and they'll ask, what's your position on divorce and separation? Well, the Bible is against divorce and separation, and so am I. Because if the Bible says that God's against divorce, God's against separation, then we should be against divorce. We should be against separation. And look, and it doesn't matter if churches are filled with people that have had divorce or separation in their past. Obviously, our hearts go out to you. Obviously, we're not picking on you. Obviously, we're not trying to make you feel bad. But we need to preach the Bible. And the truth is this, God's against it. I'm against it. That's what the Bible says. And look, and if you're here tonight and you're married, you need to make a lifelong commitment to your marriage. You need to decide that this concept of divorce and separation is not something that you're going to have in your life. And look, marriages obviously struggle. Marriages go through difficult times. And marriages, if you're married and your marriage is struggling, you need to fight for your marriage. You need to work on your marriage. You need to pray for your marriage. You need to not give up on your marriage. You need to just commit and make this lifelong commitment that you made to God and to your spouse. By the way, let me just say this as well. For those of you that are not married, you need to think long and hard about who you're going to marry. And you need to not ignore red flags, and you need to pray about this, and you need to seek counsel about this, because it's a big deal. Because this is a lifelong commitment. God has asked you to commit to a spouse till death do us part. So don't take it lightly. Don't do it flippantly. Don't go through some drive-thru and have Elvis marry you. You know, make sure that you're doing this seriously and you're taking time to think about it. You're praying about it. You're seeking counsel about it. These are important things. And look, this is no different than anything I've ever taught. I've never taught anything different than this. We're against divorce. We've always been against divorce. We're against separation. The Bible's against it, and so am I. And you know, really, it angers me that people would even try to attack me or our church as someone that's just like for divorce, and we're just, you know, no-fault Baptists, and mocking us. Because honestly, if there's one thing over the last 15 years of ministry that my wife and I have fought more than anything, it's been people getting divorced. I mean, I just think it's funny that people want to attack me, just these random people on social media want to attack me. Oh, you're a weak on marriage and you're against divorce. You know, I've spent hundreds of hours. My wife has spent many, I mean, she's probably in 15 years spent hundreds of hours. I mean, on the phone with wives, meeting with wives after the service, my wife has. I've met with individuals. I mean, there have been men that I've met with them for an hour every week for a year and a half, helping their marriage, helping them rebuild their marriage, and they're doing great. Their marriage is doing well. I mean, we're providing marriage counsel while the husband's in prison. I mean, we're just helping marriages, investing in marriages, putting work into marriages, and then to just have somebody just attack you and say, "Oh, those people, that's no fault Baptist." You know, that's a slander. Because we're against divorce. We've always been against divorce. We've never taught anything different against divorce. And it's wrong for people to try to make it sound like there's something, like we take a different position than the one that we do. The Bible teaches, and the Bible is against divorce and separation. And if you all know what my position, because all of a sudden, for some weird reason, my position on this has come into question. Well, here's my position. The Bible's against divorce and separation, and so am I. So number one, the Bible is against divorce separation. And for those of you that care, so am I. Let me give you a second statement this evening. If you're writing, taking notes, number one, the Bible is against divorce separation. Here's statement number two. The Bible acknowledges that some people will divorce and separate. The Bible acknowledges that some people will divorce and separate. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7? I want you to notice verse number 10, and I want you to notice the Apostle Paul's theology. And obviously, all of Scripture, anything you get from Scripture is going to be theology. But specifically here, there's an emphasis on the theology aspect of it, because there's other times in this passage, in this chapter, where Paul says, "This is my opinion." But notice what he says here in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. He says, "And unto the married I command." And then it's not enough that he's just obviously speaking Scripture, the Holy Spirit speaking through him. He wants to make sure he says, "Yet not I, but the Lord." So this is theology. This is the Apostle Paul's theology. He says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord." He says, "Let not the wife depart from her husband." That's a clear statement. And again, God is against divorce. God is against separation. And you say, "I've been divorced, I've been separated." Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you can confess your sins and God will forgive you and you can just move on like any other sin. You don't have to sit there and just be bitter about it or feel guilty about it. Ask God to forgive you and move on. And you know what? And if you've been remarried, then the one you're married to, that's the one you need to be loyal to. That's the one you need to forgive. That's the one you need to have a lifelong commitment to. And the Bible teaches that. I'm not going to take the time to go through those verses because that's not really the scope of this sermon. But I'm just saying to you, the Bible's against it. So am I. However, the Bible also acknowledges that some people are going to divorce or separate. Here Paul says, let not the wife depart from her husband. That's clear. That's a clear statement. God does not, he says, yet not I, but the Lord is saying, let not the wife depart from her husband. But then I want you to notice verse 11. In verse 11 he says, but and if she depart. But and if she depart. And I want you to notice that here the Apostle Paul acknowledges something. He's not approving of it. Because he just got done saying, let not the wife depart from her husband. That's the statement. That's the principle. That's what God wants. But then Paul says, but and if she depart, and then he goes on to give some instructions, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. I want you to notice here that Paul gives a command, don't depart. Let not the wife depart from her husband. That's God's standard. But then he gives an acknowledgement. He says, but and if she depart, is Paul approving of separation here? Is he approving of divorce? No. But he's acknowledging the fact that sometimes people are going to separate. Sometimes people are going to divorce. Sometimes people are going to disobey God's word. Sometimes, though God doesn't want people to separate, he doesn't want people to divorce, he says, let not the wife depart from her husband. He says, sometimes it's going to happen, but and if she depart. He's not approving of it. He's acknowledging the reality of human beings and human sinfulness and free will. It's funny to me how these guys, they want to talk about, well, that's not my fault that these people are doing these things. They have free will. But then when it comes to me, it's like when a church member is doing something, then it's your fault. You must be approving of it. You must be backing them up. You must be backing their plan. Well, look, if the people in your church and the people that you've had authority over make a mess of their lives, that's not my fault. It's free will. But our church people don't have free will. I mean, it's just hypocrisy. The Bible here, Paul is acknowledging the fact, should people separate? No. Do people separate? Yeah, sometimes. That's not approving it. That's not celebrating it. That's not saying that's a good thing. We're happy about that. But it's acknowledging the fact that sometimes it happens. But and if she depart. And look, there's a similar verse to this that kind of has the same idea. Let me show it to you quickly. Keep your place there in 1 Corinthians 7. That's where we're going to stay for a little while. But go to 1 John chapter 2. If you start at the book of Revelation and go backwards, you've got Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John. Because notice what Paul said. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 7:10, let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 11, but and if she depart. There's a similar statement in 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Now, isn't that clear? That's the standard that God has, that ye sin not. Should you sin? No. Sin is a transgression of law. Should we break God's law? No. No. Here's what John said. John said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And then he says this. Doesn't this sound a lot like 1 Corinthians 7:11? He says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What's he saying? He's saying, God doesn't want you to sin. He says, the command from God is that you sin not. But then he says, and if any man sin. Oh, John must be condoning of sin then. John must be approving of sin. No, John is just acknowledging the fact that God doesn't want you to sin, but people are going to sin. He says that you sin not, and then he says, but here's the thing. We know you're going to sin, so. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. John said, don't sin. That's the command. That's God's will. That's what God wants. But he says, if any man sin, he acknowledges the fact that people are going to sin. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 10 again. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up and making a big deal about it is because one of the attacks that I'm being attacked with, and look, I think that when people slander you and lie about you, and specifically are saying that you're teaching doctrinally things that you're not teaching, that you should be allowed to stand up and say, no, that's not true. And one of the things that I'm being attacked for is that I said in a sermon, and I use an analogy, and I'm sure I've said it more than one time, and I was using an analogy that followers are like volunteers. And of course, when you think about a volunteer, like a church volunteer, they could quit at any time, right? They could leave at any time. But I was making the analogy that if you think about it, anybody could be like a volunteer, even though an employee is obviously not a volunteer, even though a wife is obviously not a volunteer, even though a teenager living at home obviously is not a volunteer. They can also quit, run away, file for divorce. Now, should they? No. Can they? Well, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart. So I was just making this analogy, and the attack is, Pastor Jimenez is coming out with a new doctrine. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, are you crazy? A new doctrine? Like we're going to have to write like a systematic theology book, and it's going to be like, you know, ecclesiology, eschatology, and voluntaryology. Like, what are you talking about? Pastor Matt is coming out with a new doctrine. I used an analogy. And look, unlike some people, I can admit when I'm wrong. I can admit when I make mistakes. I can admit that maybe it was a poor analogy. Maybe it could have been explained better. It was an illustration to make a leadership point. If I'm being honest with you, the truth of the matter is, I think that everyone who heard what I was saying understood what I was saying. It wasn't that complicated. I think the only people that had a problem with it were people who have an axe to grind against me. People who just need to find something to make me look bad, because I don't want to be their friend anymore, so they got to villainize me and make me look bad. So they're just grasping at straws, trying to find anything to attack me on. I think anybody who listened to the sermon in context can comprehend what I was saying and understand what I'm saying. With that said, I can acknowledge maybe it was wrong, bad wording. Maybe I shouldn't have said it. Maybe it was bad illustration. Maybe it should have been explained better. But to sit there and accuse me and other pastors of being a feminist, I mean, think about that. I mean, do you know what a feminist is? And you're going to look at an independent, fundamental Baptist pastor who preaches out of the King James Bible, who preaches against divorce, who spent hours and hours and hours helping marriages not end up in divorce, who has a wife who's godly, who's submissive, who has a wife who's a stay-at-home, a homemaker, a homeschooler. And because I said, hey, volunteers, you know, followers can be like volunteers, like they can quit on you, your 17-year-old can run away. It's like, you're a feminist. You know, that, again, is slander. That. And here's the thing. They'll say, well, you shouldn't even put it on the table. You shouldn't even acknowledge that it's possible. I mean, you're putting that into people's heads. You're telling a wife that she could leave, and that's what makes you a feminist. Well, hold on a second. If I'm a feminist, then so is Paul. Because Paul said, let not the wife depart from her husband, and then he said, but and if she depart. Paul acknowledged the fact that should a wife leave? No. Can a wife leave? Yeah. Sometimes they do leave. Sometimes they can leave. So if me acknowledging the fact that a wife could leave, teens could rebel, if that makes me a feminist, then you know what? That makes the Apostle Paul a feminist, because that's exactly what he did. You understand what I'm saying to you? And listen to me. You know, all throughout history, one of the attacks that have been given to the Apostle Paul is they'll call him a male chauvinist, which Paul is not a male chauvinist. But because he wrote Ephesians 5 because he taught that wives should submit to their husbands, and wives should submit to their husbands. That's what the Bible says. Then people will say that Paul's a male chauvinist. You know, here's what I think is interesting, is that if you're more macho than the Apostle Paul, then you're just a little too macho. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you're more of a machista than the Apostle Paul, then you're just a little too toxic. Because if the Apostle Paul said, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, it is possible for her to depart. Sometimes they do depart. If that makes me a feminist for even acknowledging the fact that, hey, maybe you should not be a jerk to your wife, that makes me a feminist, well, then you know what? The Apostle Paul's a feminist. If that's your logic. And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with standing up and saying, don't mistreat your wife. Don't abuse your wife. Don't treat your wife like garbage. Don't treat your wife like trash. Don't act like women are just, like, all women just in general are dumber than men. I mean, these are the kind of stupid things that people are saying. And I'm looking at guys, they can't even spell, and they want to sit there and say, I'm smarter than all women. You're stupid. That's stupid. And you're stupid for even saying it. Telling people don't mistreat your wife, don't abuse your wife, don't treat your wife like garbage. That's not me saying she should leave you. That's not me saying it's good for her to leave you. That's not me saying I approve of her leaving you. But what I am saying to you is, if you treat your wife like garbage, she might leave you. And then people will say, like, you know, because I'll say things like these guys that want to say, you got to submit because the Bible says so. And then they'll say, why would you attack that? Why would you attack a guy telling his wife that she has to submit because the Bible says? Well, obviously she needs to submit because the Bible says so. But you know, the truth is this, that usually when you got a guy screaming at his wife, submit because the Bible says so. I mean, I'm not going to say 100% of the time. Obviously, I would never say that. But I will say this, that the vast majority of the time, that same guy is ignoring the Bible in almost every other area of his life. And they're just, you know, these guys want to just claim the Bible when it suits them. They want to claim the parts of the Bible when they can hold it over someone. What about everything else in the Bible? What about all the other things the Bible said to do? What about all the other things the Bible said to do in marriage? Those don't matter. Those don't need to be brought up. Those don't need to be preached. In fact, if you preach, husbands love your wife, you're a feminist now. Do you understand that as Bible-believing preachers, we're supposed to put the emphasis, place the emphasis where God places the emphasis? Amen. You know where God places the emphasis with husbands? Love your wives. Amen. To treat them with honor. Amen. To treat them well and treat them right. That's where God places the emphasis. Oh, you're a feminist. Okay. If that's what you need to do to save face with whoever you need to save face with. Look. Often guys, these guys, the guys that want to use the Bible, you must submit because the Bible says. Look, that's not a bad statement. Everyone should do what the Bible says. Okay, are we clear on that? But usually what's laughable and makes you lose respect for these guys is usually these are the same guys who are ignoring the Bible and only bringing it up when it suits them, when it's something that they want. So the attack right now on Pastor Madison is, you said that they're volunteers and you said that it's possible for them to leave. So that makes you a feminist. Well, here's the thing. If it makes me a feminist, it makes Paul a feminist. Because that's what Paul said. I mean, can you look at it again? 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart. He's not approving of it. He's acknowledging that it happens. And I think men should be aware and wives and all of it. Look, again, this isn't difficult. I think anybody who has a brain in their head and doesn't have an axe to grind can just hear what's being said and understand what's being said. So I said number one, the Bible is against divorce and separation. And for those of you that care, because apparently right now everybody just cares, what's Pastor Jimenez's position on divorce and separation? Well, the Bible's against divorce and separation, and so am I. But you know what? The Bible also acknowledges that some people will divorce and separate, and so do I. And if that makes me a feminist, I'd rather stand with Paul. I understand there's a movement of Christians out there who think that, well, I've got more subscribers than you do, so that makes me more godly. Or my church is bigger than yours, so that makes me more godly. Look, you may have more subscribers than the Apostle Paul, and you may pastor a bigger church than the Apostle Paul, but if I have to choose between you and the Apostle Paul, I'm going to go with Paul every time. Amen. Every day and twice on Sunday. I'm more macho than Paul. Then you're too macho. I'm more for marriage than Paul. Then I don't know what to tell you. You're crazy. That's what you are. Because if acknowledging that sometimes wives leave makes you a feminist, you're crazy. It's just insanity. So number one, the Bible's against divorce and separation, and so am I. Number two, the Bible acknowledges that sometimes people will divorce and separate, and so do I. And then let me give you a third statement tonight. And it is this, that the Bible addresses what to do when someone divorces or separates. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God will guide us in all matters of life, all matters of faith and godliness. And the Bible actually addresses what to do when someone divorces or separates. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul, he brings this up for a reason. He's going to give some options. Notice the options that he gives. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11. Now, again, let me just reiterate the fact. In verse 10, he said, let not the wife depart from her husband. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. That's what the Bible says. That's God's will. God does not want wives to depart from their husbands. Let not the husband put away his wife. God is against divorce. I mean, is that clear? Let not the wife depart from her husband, verse 10. Verse 11, but and if she depart, that's not approval, that's just acknowledgement. Then here's what he says. He says, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. I want you to notice that Paul here gives two options. He says, but and if she depart, what does that mean? It means that sometimes people are going to sin. Sometimes people are going to go against what the Lord wants. God doesn't want divorce. God doesn't want separation. Let not the husband depart. Let not the wife depart from her husband. God's against it. But sometimes people are going to do what God's against. And look, every single person in this room and every single person that's making videos online, everyone has at some point in their life done something that God was against. We're all sinners. Sin is a transgression of the law. So Paul says, what do you do when somebody goes against? Because God's will is that you not divide what he has made one. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. God hates divorce. God says divorce, marriage is till death do us part. But then Paul says, what do you do when someone separates? What do you do when someone divorces? Well, here's what he said. He said, let her remain unmarried. And the word let there is not a word that's being used in the way that you and I use it today. Today, when you and I say let, we mean like allow. But the way the word is being used there, and I don't have time to develop this, but you can find this out on your own in Scripture. It's being used in the sense of they must. She must. He says, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her. She must, he's saying, here's what she must do in this instance. She must remain unmarried. That's her option. You say, well, I don't like that option. Because I want to start a Christian Mingle account, and I want to start dating. Well, God says, if you're going to follow what the Bible says, if you're going to follow what the Word of God says, here's your options. Let her remain unmarried. You say, I don't like that. Okay, here's option number two. Or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. Those are the options. God says, look, as a pastor, my job is to look at what the Bible says and then apply it in people's lives. When someone's getting separated, when someone's getting divorced, say, what do you tell them? Well, I never advise separation. I never advise support, divorce. I never back their play. I never celebrate it. I never approve of it. But when people do it, you know what I do? I just look at what the Bible says. I look at what the Apostle Paul says, and I say, well, if you're going to separate, the Bible says that you must remain unmarried. Let her remain unmarried. And if you don't like that, here's option two, or be reconciled unto your husband. Those are the options. Now, sometimes people, you know, it's really easy to get up and just make these broad statements. But there are instances where someone may just choose, I'd rather just remain unmarried than continue in this marriage. And I am not saying that I agree with that. I'm not saying that I approve of that. I'm not saying that I celebrate that. I'm not saying that I'm for that. I'm against that. But there are times when people choose and say, I'd rather just remain unmarried. And you say, well, and people, I think sometimes normal people, they have a hard time thinking like, well, when could that even be possible? When could that be, could apply? Well, you know, I've been pastoring for 15 years. And in 15 years, my wife and I have dealt with a lot, not in our church here, because honestly, we've dealt with this very little in our church. But I have pastors who call me and ask me for advice over the years. And I've heard reasons why a wife may want to choose to remain unmarried. Again, not approving of it, not acknowledging, not celebrating it, not supporting it. But I just think it's easy sometimes for people to look at situations and just not think through the fact that there might be a time when someone decides, you know, I'd just rather remain unmarried for the rest of my life. And again, I'm not saying that's good. I believe let not the wife depart from her husband. I believe that the husband should not put away his wife. You know, here's a situation that I heard about. I heard of a woman whose husband was making fentanyl in their home, cutting it, selling it. And they had little children in the home. This is extremely dangerous, obviously, for children. She's begging her husband to stop doing that. She's just pleading with him that he won't stop. Look, and again, that's a situation where a lady may decide, I just need to not be here, and I'm just going to remain unmarried, but they may choose to separate. And I'm not saying that's right, that's good. I take the position the Apostle Paul says, let not the wife depart from her husband. Well, I'm going to depart. Well, okay, then, but and if she depart, then here's your options. Remain unmarried or be reconciled to your husband. Acknowledging that people sometimes make decisions is not approving of it. I'm just telling you, you know, here's another situation. A lady and a husband got married, and they brought children into the marriage. She brought teens, daughters, into the marriage. And then that husband was inappropriate with those teen daughters. And again, look, here's what you understand. Sin makes a mess of everything. Sin just destroys everything. And sometimes you have situations where there's just no right answer. And I don't advise separation. I don't ever. Those words have never came out of my mouth ever. But here's a situation where maybe a mother would just, for the sake of her daughter, say, I just need to be somewhere else and I'll remain unmarried, but I need to separate. I know of a woman who found out that her husband is a homosexual and he wants to openly be with multiple men and wants her to just be okay with it. And that's a situation where someone might just say, you know what, I'd just rather remain unmarried. I'd just rather not deal with this. I mean, or a woman finds out her husband's a pedophile. That's a situation where someone, a mother, might say, I'm not approving. I'm just telling you, those are situations that happen. I'm not approving of it. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying sin makes a mess of everything. But you know, sometimes people, they choose to separate. And Paul himself said, if you're going to do it, here's your options. You could remain unmarried or you could be reconciled to your husband. I heard of a situation, and listen to me very carefully, not one, multiple, recently, which this is worrisome to me because the fact, I've never heard this before, and the fact that I'm hearing this now just makes me feel like this is being taught somewhere. But I've heard of multiple, not one, multiple situations where the husband wants to have openly just another woman on the side. A second wife, I mean, calling it polygamy, calling it a concubine, just calling it a girlfriend that he's open about. And he just wants his wife to be fine with it. He wants to just go on dates with her. He wants to take her out on romantic getaways and just expects for his wife to be home with the kids. And when he comes home, she better say, "Yes, Lord." And I'm just telling you, that's a situation where someone might say, "Yeah, you know what? I'd just rather remain unmarried. I'm not approving of it. I'm not saying, that's good. You go, girl." I'm not saying that. But sometimes you look at these situations and you kind of think to yourself, like, what do you say? Well, I don't have to think about what to say. The Apostle Paul already said it. He said, "Let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, here's your options. Let her remain unmarried." And look, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying I approve of it. I'm not saying it's a good thing. But I am saying to you that if you abuse your wife, if you mistreat your wife, if you commit adultery on your wife, and she forgives you, and she wants to work on the marriage, and then you commit adultery on her again, and then you commit adultery with her on her again, and then you commit adultery on her again, and then you commit adultery on her again, and then you commit adultery on her again. Look, whether it's right or not, I'm just here to tell you something. People have a breaking point. People just get to a place where they're just like, this isn't even worth it. I'd just rather remain unmarried. And that's not me approving of it. That's not me celebrating it. That's not me backing their play, whatever that means. That's me just saying, well, what do you do in that situation? But here's what I do. I say, hey, God's against divorce. God's against separation. God wants you to forgive. God wants you to work. But if somebody says, I can't, I'm done, what do I say? I don't need to worry. I don't need to think about what to say because Apostle Paul already said it. He said, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried. And in those situations, I look at that individual and say, the Bible says you have two options. One, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. Now, let me just make a big deal about this because this is what I'm being attacked on. People are saying, no, what this verse means is that she should remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. Now look, I'm all for that. I think in many instances that can work. Let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. I'm all for that, but that's not what the verse says. Or say, no, this means let her remain unmarried until she's reconciled to her husband. Well, I'm all for that too, but that's not what the verse says. These are not one command. These are two options. Let her remain unmarried, or, that's a separate option, be reconciled to her husband. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Why would God, and here's the question that I get asked. Why would God give instructions to someone who's doing something that he doesn't want? Because he just said, let not the wife, he said, I'm not speaking, the Lord's speaking, let not the wife depart from her husband. And by the way, amen! Let not the wife depart from her husband. I believe it. And then they'll say, but then you're saying, you're putting this on the table. I didn't put it on the table. Paul did. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Those are the options. Well, why would God give an option for someone who does something that he's against? Here's why. Because God knows that people are going to do things that he's against. Think about this. In the Old Testament, God was their king. And God was against the children of Israel having a king. I mean, that, I'm not going to take the time to have you turn to passages, but that is clearly taught in Scripture. God was against the children of Israel wanting kings. God did not want them to have kings. He was against it. But you know that God still gave them instructions before they ever got a king, saying, if you get a king, here's how to do it. Well, why would God do it? Why would God give them instructions on how to get a king if he was against them getting a king? Because he knew they were going to do it. Just because God gives instructions to something and says, well, if you're going to do this, here's what you should do. Because God doesn't want people who separate or divorce to marry someone else because that's adultery. That's what the Bible teaches. So he says, if you're going to just disobey and get a divorce or get a separation, then here's what you should do. Remain unmarried. Well, I don't want to remain unmarried for the rest of my life. Okay, well, then here's your next option. Be reconciled to your husband. Why is God giving instructions on things he's against? Well, why did God tell the children of Israel how to have a king when he was against? Look, when the children of Israel come to Samuel and say, We want a king. Samuel's telling him, like, this is a bad idea. You shouldn't do this. God doesn't want this. But God gave them instructions for how to do it because God, even when, aren't you thankful that God is graceful even when we are making bad decisions? He says, well, here's how to minimize the fallout. Now, I just want to deal with this real quickly, and for most of you, this is not going to mean anything, but, you know, obviously when you're dealing with situations like this, I mean, there's a lot of phone calls going back and forth, a lot of text messages, and a lot of questions being asked. And honestly, when you're dealing with situations like this, just a lot of chaos. But one thing that I did, one word that I used when I was explaining a question that I was being asked in this context, I used this word tolerate. And now I've got individuals just making a big deal about that. Pastor, you meant us to tolerate. So let me just deal with that real quickly. And let me just go back to a previous statement that I made and say this. Unlike some people, I don't have a problem admitting when I'm wrong. I don't need to sit here and pretend like Pastor Jimenez never makes a mistake. I can acknowledge when I say something I shouldn't say. I can acknowledge when I use the wrong word or wrong analogy. I can acknowledge that when I say the wrong thing. So for anyone who's offended that I use the word tolerate, let me just be clear. I'm admitting that was a wrong word to use. I take it back, and I'm sorry. With that said, the point still stands. With that said, Paul still taught, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. It doesn't change anything. So let me let you in on a little secret. Pastor Jimenez isn't perfect. And let me let you in on a little secret. Mature people are able to admit when they're wrong. And just say, hey, I made a mistake. I said the wrong thing. I'm sorry. You know, the only person that's perfect is the Lord, sinless is the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what Paul says. Paul says, because remember, people want to know, Pastor Jimenez, what's your position on divorce and separation? Well, here's the thing. The Bible's against divorce and separation, and so am I. And the Bible acknowledges that some people will get divorced and separated, and so do I. And that is not me celebrating it. That is not me approving of it. That's not me condoning it. That's not me backing it. It's just an acknowledgement of reality. I mean, to me, it's crazy. These guys, they get up and preach against me because I said, hey, you know, it's possible for your wife to leave you, which is exactly what Paul said. And they'll get up and say, like, she can't leave. She can't leave. She can't leave. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you're so interested in just preaching something against me. Like, it doesn't make any sense. She can't leave? Like, what? Like, she shouldn't leave. She can't leave if she's trying to follow what the Bible says. That's true. But she can't physically walk out the door and leave. Are you crazy? That's like saying, like, you can't drive without a license. You can't drive without a license. The state of California is against you driving without a license. You can't drive. Let me let you know a little secret. If you don't have a license, you can still grab a key and put it in ignition, and the car will start. Should you drive without a license? No. Can you drive without a license? Yes. And look, these guys are preaching this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, this is so idiotic, and the people that are agreeing with them, they're agreeing with them for two reasons. Either they're evil or they're stupid. Or both. Of course, she can't leave. Well, of course, she shouldn't leave. But Paul says she can leave. And that's not Paul being a feminist. And maybe some husbands should wake up and realize if you treat your wife like trash, she might just leave. And that's not, preaching that is not being a feminist. It's ridiculous. So Paul said, the Bible addresses what to do when someone divorces or separates. Paul told us, what are the options? They are to remain unmarried or they are to be reconciled to their spouse. Those are the biblical options that Paul gave. And look, I'm going to go with Paul every time. I know that people think, like, this guy is more godly than Paul. No, he's not. I'm going to go with Paul every time. Now, let me explain to you the option that Paul didn't give. You know what Paul didn't say? 1 Corinthians 7, look at it. 1 Corinthians 7, look at verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 11. But and if she depart, church discipline her. Is that what he said? But and if she depart, kick her out of church. Is that what he said?
But and if she depart,
throw her out of church.
Here's what Paul said, which is scripture, which I'm think we're supposed to. I thought we said we were biblicists. I thought we said that if the Bible is your boss, you're a Baptist. I thought we said we were just going to follow that the Bible was going to be our authority in all matters of faith and pride. I thought I heard that somewhere. So here's what Paul said. Paul said, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart,
kick her out of church.
No, here's what Paul said. Let her remain unmarried. The word let means she must. She must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Those are the biblical options if people want to follow the Bible, even in separation, if they want to try to minimize the amount of hurt and chaos that comes. Those are the options, and let not the husband put away his wife. But you know what Paul didn't say? Paul didn't say church discipline her. You say, well, maybe Paul forgot. Well, hold on a second. If there's any one book in the Bible that emphasizes church discipline, it's 1 Corinthians. I mean, this is the church discipline book. Not only that, we're in chapter 7. So just two chapters earlier in chapter 5, Paul is telling us, hey, there, you got a guy in your church there in Corinth, you got to kick him out. He's fornicating, you got to kick him out. And then Paul gives us a whole chapter there in chapter 5, a whole explanation on kick people out when they're fornicating, kick people out when they're drunkards, kick people out for this, kick people out for that. You know what he didn't mention? He didn't mention kick people out if they separate or get divorced. He never said that. And then two chapters later, oh, Paul forgot in chapter 5, so he's going to bring it up in chapter 7. Two chapters later in chapter 7, I mean, he's saying, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, oh, oops. Paul must be a feminist because he said, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her. He didn't say, throw her out of church, kick her out of church. Right. And you know, here's what's interesting about that. Is that the people saying this about me and accusing me of being a feminist, or I haven't thrown someone that's going through a separation or going through a divorce or whatever out of church. The funny thing about this is I've never heard these people say this till recently. In fact, I've heard them, and I've got sermons that I could point to where they're saying the exact opposite, where they're saying, I wouldn't church discipline someone for going through a divorce. But all of a sudden now that it's open season on Pastor Jimenez, now that Pastor Jimenez doesn't want to be our friend, so we got to villainize him and try to find something to attack him on. But, oh, wait a minute, we can't find anything, so we got to pull out a sermon from 2 years ago, and let's attack his family member. Now, all of a sudden, we got to find something to attack him, which honestly, I mean, I look, I'm a sinner, and I do not deserve anything, but the fact that they can't find anything, it kind of makes me feel a little bit like Daniel, like, well, they just got to make stuff up. Like, they're like, I mean, they want to talk about projecting. He's starting a new doctrine. No, it sounds like you're starting a new doctrine. Because I've never heard you say this before. I've never heard you teach this before. I know for a fact that there are people in your church who have divorced and remarried and have been members in good standing. And if you're like, oh, it's just a coincidence, this was just, it just came to light. It's just a new teaching that I just came up with just around the same time that I could attack you with it. Like, it's always a coincidence with these people. I've never heard anybody teach this. I've never heard anybody say this. I've heard them say the exact opposite. And I believe that this is just something they're coming up with to try to find something to attack me on. Look, I don't advise separation or divorce. I never have. Those words have never came out of my mouth. You can ask anybody, anytime, anywhere. I've never advised it. I've never applauded it. I've never condoned it. I've never celebrated it. I've never backed their play. I'm just literally following what the Bible says. And I don't care how many people attack me on it, I'm going to go with Paul every time. Because Paul said, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, he's acknowledging it. He's not approving of it. He says, here are the options. Let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. By the way, I'm against divorce. Have I made that clear? I'm against separation. Have I made that clear? I've never advised it. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for anybody. But sometimes people just say, I'd rather just remain unmarried for the rest of my life. And if they say that, then that's what Paul said.
Now, I realize that the sermon's maybe going a little longer than it should or than I should, but I do want to deal with one more thing, and that is a matter of church discipline. And again, look, I think when people slander you and lie about you, I think you should be allowed to respond. And I'm going to bring up a matter of church discipline, and let me just be very clear, because I realize there's people that are going to just attack me for anything that I say. You know, it is biblical for me to bring up matters of church discipline in an open assembly, because church discipline is something that, for example, Jesus said about church discipline, tell it unto the church. Paul said about church discipline to mark them and avoid them, which means to mark them publicly. So I don't think there's anything wrong, biblically at all, with me bringing up a matter of church discipline publicly, because that's what church discipline, that's one of the aspects of church discipline. Now, let me just be clear about my philosophy. I don't bring up every matter of church discipline. And the reason that I don't is because a lot of matters of church discipline, they don't pertain to the entire church. They don't affect the entire church. So I don't think it's something that every instance needs to be brought up before the whole church. Obviously, if it's a public sin, obviously, if it's something that affects the entire church, then yeah, when sins are done publicly, sometimes they need to be dealt with publicly. When sins are done privately, I believe they should be dealt with privately. So this instance, when I church discipline an individual, I didn't bring it before the church because I just didn't feel like it needed to be brought before the church. But there's nothing wrong with me bringing it up before the church. And now I think it is appropriate for me to bring it up for the church because there's literally people making videos saying, Pastor Jimenez kicked someone out of church for taking their child. Pastor Jimenez kicked a man out of church for taking his own child. That's a lie. That's a flat-out slanderous lie. And look, if you think, like, I don't think you should address these things, well, I do. Because this is a false accusation. And look, I think that my church family deserves to know the truth. So there's nothing biblically wrong with bringing up church discipline publicly, because that's what church discipline, Jesus said, tell it unto the church, mark them and avoid them. I don't think every instance of church discipline needs to be brought up, but I think, I didn't even think this one really needs to be brought up, but I think it should be brought up now because I'm just openly being lied about. But let me just say this, even now, I'm not going to use names. And here's why, because I think all of you know who I'm talking about. So I don't feel the need. I'm not a jerk who's just gonna put somebody's name on a video and just hurt people just to be a jerk. So I'm not gonna use any names. I think you guys all know what I'm talking about, and if you don't, you can ask me. But I wanna explain because there's a false accusation that's been made that I kicked someone out of church, a man out of church for taking his kid. And that's a lie. Now obviously, when it comes to lies, the best lies, and I'm not trying to teach you how to lie, but the best lies always incorporate some truth. Because that kind of like mixes it all up so no one can really call you on it. Well, I'm going to call you on it because, and here's the thing, once I explain it, you, the church member, you, the listener, you may still disagree with me. I don't care. You can disagree with me. I don't have a problem with people disagreeing with me, but don't lie about me. You can say, well, I still think you're wrong. Great. I don't care that you think I'm wrong. But don't lie. Don't slander. That's wrong. So go to Proverbs real quickly, if you don't mind. Proverbs 18. While you turn there, let me just talk about this. So I'm being accused of, I threw a man out of church for taking his child. That's a lie. You say, what happened? Here's what happened. There's a couple in our church that is whatever, going through a divorce. I don't even know what to say, because whatever I say, they're going to attack. Separating, going through a divorce, filed for a divorce, whatever. And I get a call, not from the husband, not from the man, but from his father. His dad calls me and says, hey, Pastor Jimenez, you know, we're trying to get set up so that my son, the father of the children, can see his kids. By the way, I've said to everyone, and you can ask anyone you want, they're all here. You can ask them. I said to everyone, I think that the dad should see the children. I don't think that children should be not allowed to see their kids. And they believe that too. But here's what he said to me. He said, we're trying to set up the dad seeing the kids. And I said, I'm for that. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is that the wife, the mother, believed for whatever reason, she got some sort of communication or whatever, that the husband was going to take the children the first moment he had them or had the chance. And I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with me? Well, we were just, so because of that, they're kind of hesitant about letting him see the kids. So we were thinking if they could see the kids at church, in connection to a church service, it's a neutral place, it's a safe place, it's a nice place, then that would help kind of resolve this. And here's what I said. And look, anybody that wants to stand up and say that this isn't true, I mean, they're lying if they do. I said to that man, I said, I have no, well, let me back up. The first thing I said is, look, let me give you my opinion. You know I'm allowed to give my opinion? Paul said, this is not the Lord speaking, this is me speaking. So I said, let me give you my opinion. Here's my opinion. My opinion, my personal opinion is this. He shouldn't take those kids. And here's why. I just don't think it's good to take a 2-year-old from their mother. I just don't think it's good to take a 1-year-old from their mother for weeks or months. I just don't think that's good. So here's my opinion. If I woke up in your shoes, I wouldn't do that. But I told him, but there's nothing legally wrong with you taking your children, with your son taking his children. There's nothing legally wrong because here's the thing. Until there's a court order, any parent could take any of their kids anytime legally. That's a fact. And I said, there's nothing even biblically wrong with it. There's no Bible verse that says a father can't take their children. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't do it. Because I don't think it's good to take a 1-year-old from their mother for weeks at a time or a 2-year-old from their mother for weeks at a time. That's just my opinion. And look, I'm allowed to have an opinion. So I said, I don't care if he takes his children, but I don't want that happening at church. I don't want some chaos at church. I don't want some big thing happening at church. I don't want that to happen. Just you guys meet at a park somewhere, and then he can do whatever he wants to do there. They're like, I think the only way that they would agree is if we met at church. And this is what his dad said to me. He said, I give you my word, if my son tries to take those kids, I will personally stop it myself. And I said, look, I'm not asking you to give me your word. I would never ask you to say or do anything against your own son. I would never do that. No, I promise if he tries to take the kids, I'm going to stop. It's not about that. It's about them just getting to spend time and see things. I said, okay, well, look. I don't think it's a good idea. Then I get a call from the husband, the father of the children. Same thing. We're trying to see the kids, trying to set up. It could be a church. It'd be a neutral place. It'd be a safe place. I said the exact same thing. I said, look, listen to me. This is my opinion. If I were you, I wouldn't take those kids. If I woke up in your shoes, I wouldn't take those kids. I don't think it's good to take a 1-year-old from their mother for weeks or months at a time. I don't think it's good to take a 2-year-old from their mother for weeks or months at a time. That's my opinion. I wouldn't do it. With that said, there's nothing legally wrong with you doing it. If you meet here and you grab one of those kids and you leave, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no court order. There's no divorce. That's fine. And there's nothing even biblically wrong with it. I told him, here's why I don't want it. I just want to just do it somewhere else. I don't want it here because I don't want chaos and the drama and all of that going on. Then he promises, no, I promise I'm not. And I said, I'm not asking you to promise. No, I promise I'm not going to take the kids. If I do it, I'll do it somewhere else. I would never do it at church. And they just kept bugging me. So I said, okay, here's the thing. I didn't ask for a promise, but you've made a promise. So I'm saying to you right now, if you break your promise to me, you break your word to me, I'm going to kick you out of church. I understand. I'm not going to break my word. They came here, had their first little meeting. It worked out well the first time, came back the second time, decides to take one of the kids. Now, here's the thing. He does it in a very dramatic fashion. I mean, just screaming and running and this and that, all of it. I mean, in front of just a bunch of other little children, my wife and I, later on, we have moms telling us that their kids weren't able to sleep that night. You know, they're saying things to their mom like, why did that man take that baby from its mother? Just the most dramatic, chaotic way possible. The accusations against me are like, and they called the cops on him, like making it sound like we called. He called the cops on himself. He called the cops. So how do you know that? Because I saw him with my own eyes and heard him with my own ears. Call 911. He called the cops. takes the kid the most dramatic way, makes a big scene, walks up to me while holding his kid and said, I know I broke my word to you. I know you're going to kick me out of church, but I'm taking my kid. And I said to him, I don't care if you take your kid. You can take your kid. You're legally allowed to take your kid. There's no biblical reason to take your kid. But you're right, I am going to throw you out of church because you promised me you weren't going to do this. You promised me you weren't going to make this chaos. And you did it. Now, here's the thing. To say, oh, you kicked him out of church because he took his kids is a lie. Because if he would have done that at a random park on a Tuesday, I wouldn't have kicked him out of church for that. Now, look, you don't have to agree with me. Just don't lie about me. Say, I don't agree with you. I think that when you're the pastor, then you do whatever you think. But I'm just telling you, to sit there and say, pastoring man has kicked a man out of church because he took his own kid, that's a flat-out lie. Because if he would have done that at a random place somewhere else, I wouldn't have kicked him out of church. I kicked him out of church because he made a promise to me that I didn't ask for. And I said, okay, but if you break your word, I'm going to kick you out of church. I understand. He comes to me, says, I'm breaking my word. You're going to kick me out of church. He said, I'm sorry. But I don't think that really means, I don't think it means anything to say I'm sorry when you're doing it. So I get them out of church. And look, all I'm doing, I'm just setting the record straight. And you can say, people are going to make videos saying, well, you're still wrong. Okay, I don't care. Disagree with me, but don't lie. You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, you don't have to lie about me. Just tell the truth and then pick it apart if you want. Proverbs chapter 18. Let's look at one last verse and we'll be done. Proverbs 18. I apologize, the sermon's a little long, but normally the church discipline stuff we do after the service with the live stream off. It's just, you know, we're just combining it all. And look, I just want to be clear. What's my position on separation and divorce? Well, honestly, I believe my position is a biblical position. Because the Bible is against divorce and separation, and so am I. And the Bible acknowledges that some people will divorce and separate, and so do I. And the Bible addresses what to do when someone divorces or separates, and I follow that. I follow the Bible. I'm not going to follow some random guy on Facebook. I'm just going to follow the Word of God. Amen. And you can agree with me or disagree with me. You can like it or not like it. Look, I'm just telling you, you want to know what I believe? You want to know what has guided my steps? You want to know? I'm going to tell you, here's what I believe, and I'm going to show you why I believe it. If you don't agree with me, that's between you and God. Proverbs 18, verse 22. Let's finish here. Proverbs 18, 22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You know, if you're not married here tonight, let me just say this. You ought to ask God to guide you to the right person. You ought to wait on him and seek his will. You ought to seek a godly spouse. Because he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And you ought to pray about that. And you ought to seek counsel about that. And you should not ignore red flags about that. But let me say this. If you are married here tonight, let me say this to you. You ought to treasure that relationship. You ought to protect it. Don't do anything to damage it. Don't do anything to destroy it. Men, treat your wife well. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And wives, respect your husbands and give them reverence and submit to them. If you're married, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's a good thing. Treasure that relationship. And you know, if you're here tonight and you've hurt your marriage or you've destroyed your marriage because of your own sin, you know what you ought to do is just humble yourself and sincerely repent and call out to God and ask God to forgive you and to restore you. And if possible, to rebuild your marriage. We need to get back to valuing marriage. Marriage is a good thing. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, I understand that a message like this is not going to sit well with some people. I get that. And I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry if it makes people uncomfortable. But I believe that everything I've preached tonight came straight out of the Word of God. And I think that when people are attacking our church and attacking me
and saying that we are teaching things and doing things that are not true, that it is right and proper to answer that. And there was a lot of biblical teaching that happened tonight, and I pray that the people that are in this room, and maybe even the ones that listen online, that they would learn from it. And Lord, help us to learn from the Word of God. And Lord, I pray for the marriages of Verity Baptist Church. I pray you strengthen them. I pray you'd protect them. I pray, Lord, that your will would be done in their lives. Help us always to just decide to let the Bible guide us. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being here.